Hey guys.
Kevin.
Hi.
It does the job. We're just talking about Lindsay's. Lindsay has the best ring light.
Oh, nice. My lighting is like kind of awful right now. I mean, I can fix it a little bit, but
No,
Mood
you're
lighting.
good. You're good. You're good. Hi,
Those
everybody.
ones.
Welcome to episode 11. How is this really
That's
episode
crazy.
11, you guys? This is insane that we've been doing this for this long now. Like, absolutely, like, mind-blowing, really.
Yeah.
And tonight we have Kevin Chang, Doctor Who runs on TikTok, and also what's your handle on Instagram?
It's K Chang, so KCHIANG 1616.
That did you have to take a long time to pick that one out?
No, I think I just picked it back in the day because it's like my name, and then 16's my favorite number. So I think back when I made my account in high school or something,
Isn't that
that's probably
funny?
what it
Yeah,
was.
like,
Yeah,
do you
but I
think
just like
about
have not changed it. I told myself I would probably change it one day, and I just haven't changed it because,
No, it sticks. You
yeah.
gotta do it. Well, I didn't really think I was gonna be this Iowa mom this long, but here we are. So
gonna stick.
don't ask me what my high school email address was. It's embarrassing. I've seen like a
No,
couple
wait. What was your high school email address?
No, I are you kidding me right now? I can't do okay. I still have it. It's a Hotmail account.
Okay, you'll
It's
start.
Jen Dog, DAWG.
I
it could have been so much worse, though, honestly.
It's funny. Underscore 00. Don't
Nice,
forget the
nice, nice.
underscore. Oh my gosh. So now everyone can shoot me emails at my Hotmail account.
There
Oh
is going to be
my gosh.
swarm.
Yeah, right? Oh my gosh, so busy. Just for a quick little update, episode 11 of Run Talk, and gosh, if you guys feel ever so inclined just to tap the screen, that lets other people know that we're sitting here chit-chatting about running. And we're just gonna dig right in. Kevin, I wore this shirt for you.
Nice. I've got my little shirt from
Well,
our.
hopefully, our other two new Brooks Running Collective members get their Hype Fest gear this year, which will be super
Yeah.
exciting. I'm
You
sure.
know, I feel like I've been like not the best Brooks Running Collective member. I did not do the survey for the last thing, so I'm not going to get the next gear drop.
Oh
no.
Yeah. Well, I missed it completely because it was when I was driving Joey across over to Arizona. I missed
Oh my
all of
gosh,
that. I didn't know
Lindsay.
anything about it. And then I got home and I like finally was like, okay, let me catch up on life. And I was like, oh. And then I messaged the lady and I was like, is there any way? And she's like, no, it's too late. So.
Okay, well, I will make sure that we send you a text when that happens again, because that really
I
does
didn't know there were going to be surveys to do in order to get, I had no idea.
suck. It's fine. It's a learning lesson. You're learning. I
We'll
mean,
figure it
I'm
out.
trying.
hey, we learned everything is a lesson. We're learning that as we go, right?
And Lindsay, you
Okay.
have had a lot going on in life in general, a lot of very big things. So,
Yeah, it's been a
yes.
rough couple, like 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's been one thing after another. So,
Yeah.
Kevin, we kind of just like to dig right in. And
All
first
right.
off, we want to know like how and have you always been a runner and how did you get into running if you haven't? And, you know, what was the moment that you were like, I'm a runner?
Yeah, so I've not always been a runner. I'm thinking back, like back when I was in elementary school, like you guys know those like track or those like field days you would do in elementary school and things
I
like
love field
that.
day.
So on growing up, like my family is like Taiwanese, so but we speak like Mandarin as well. So my parents would send me and my siblings to Chinese school on Sundays growing up, and so every year in the spring there would be like a field day where all Chinese schools in the county and the area would come together and do like this field day, and a lot of it was like track events. So that was like the first time I got into like a little bit of running, but that was all I did was like show up once a year and do like a 100-meter dash or like the 4x100 relay. And my two of my best childhood friends are actually like really, really fast or were really, really fast back then. And so we would win all the time and it'd be kind of fun. I'd get smoked by them in the 100, but it was all good fun. That was pretty much it. And then my dad, I don't think my dad was ever a runner, but he had won the 100-meter dash like 10 years in a row, like straight running at this like field day thing. And there were a lot of people there. So that was like a little bit inspiring. And then I basically like was not a runner at all. I did other sports growing up, tennis, badminton, like racket sports, competed in those. When I got to med school, I picked up like bowling and volleyball more, some more like eclectic stuff, I would say. Volleyball's not that eclectic, but you know what I mean. In med school, I signed up. I was in Hershey when I did my schooling there, and so I signed up for the Hershey Half Marathon, which they had there.
Oh,
And
fun.
really, the only reason I signed up for it was one, my friends were doing it, and I was like, It'd be kind of cool to do a half marathon, I don't know. And then they had this medal that was like a Kit Kat bar, basically. And I was like, that's a pretty sweet medal. I kind of want that. So I remember I think I trained for 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks maybe. I got up to like 6 miles, and then I was like, YOLO, let me just run this race day. I showed up race day. It was a fun time. I did okay. I remember the last mile of the half, there was this like big stretch across the parking lot at Hershey Park Stadium, and I remember both my quads and both my hamstrings cramped up all at the same time, and I was like hobbling across this parking lot finishing this race. And that was like my first real race, unless you count a couple of like turkey trots, I guess, back in the day, that were just for fun with the fam. So that was my first race, and then that was it for running. I didn't actually start running until I was in residency. So this would have been fall, October, I think it's like October 20th, 2021, I think was the exact date. But I was on Instagram, was not a runner at the time. I did more like CrossFit stuff at the time. And I got this ad, as we all get ads scrolling across Instagram stories, and it was like Pittsburgh Marathon. And I was like, all right, this is like a little bit interesting. Let me look into this. So I looked into a little bit, and it was in May, and I was like, you know, I mean, it's always been a life goal to kind of run a marathon. It's something that everyone talks about. It's like a bucket list item, so to speak. And I've always been that kind of like type A person, kind of want to do crazy things and try something new and kind of check off bucket list items, so to speak. And so I was like, heck yeah, let's just sign up for this marathon, having no clue what I was signing up for, and no clue what it entailed. So I registered and signed up for the Pittsburgh Marathon. I actually ended up doing it in honor of my late maternal grandmother who had passed away not that long before that. She had cancer, and so I fundraised for the American Cancer Society and ran as a charity for them. And so that was a lot of fun. Got to build a lot of connections, friends, things like that through that group. So I have a lot of thanks to give to ACS for kind of getting me into running at the start of it all. But trained all fall, winter, a little bit in the spring, and then ran that marathon in May. I remember like following the pacer the whole time and kind of trying to stick with the group. And it was a long, like 5 hours and 20 minutes or whatever it took, but we got it done. And then that was kind of it. I think after that, I drank the Kool-Aid and I was like, this is more fun than I thought. I could probably get into this running thing a little bit more. I ended up doing a lot of 5Ks that fall. So fall of 2022. I went like all in on 5Ks and stuff. Basically, did not do any training. I just ran like 5Ks weekend after weekend after weekend. And I think if you go back to my Instagram history, the 2022, there is a stretch. I think I ran like 24 5Ks in 21 weeks or something
Oh
like that.
my gosh, crazy.
I was just like signing up for races, and I got kind of bit by the medal bug. And I was like, these medals are pretty cool. I'm kind of do this. And I didn't really train for them. I kind of just kept running 5Ks, and somehow I actually got faster by like 4 or 5 minutes just running 5Ks every weekend. So that got kind of fun. In that process, in the process of doing like the Pittsburgh Marathon, I got involved with a group we have. This is an organization in Pittsburgh called P3R, so Pittsburgh Three Rivers. They host; they're kind of like the hosts of the marathon and other kind of major racing and running events throughout the year there. And they had an ambassador group, so I applied to that on a whim, got accepted. I still don't know how exactly, but I'm really grateful for that and made a lot of friends through that group. One of my friends there had this pretty inspiring story. Steve became an ultra runner himself. He's a firefighter too, and so talked to him, kind of followed his journey, and then got bit by the ultra bug, and then went like head first into ultra running. So I went from doing all these like 5Ks in the fall to starting to train for like my first ultra. And since then, I think I've done four total ultras. I think between like February 23 and June of last year, I've done four ultras. So my first one was the Black Canyon 60K. I
I
think it's
want
a
to do
50.
that one.
I think this year was a 50K. They kind of changed the course a little bit because of, I can't remember why, but it was a 60K when I did it. Took a long time, but it was fun. Got sunburned real bad, but I mean that was my first time ever running like desert trail. Like I'd never trained in desert trail or anything. I just flew out to Arizona and kind of ran it after training in the winter cold of Pittsburgh. That was a lot of fun, and so got bit by the ultra bug. Kind of stuck with that. Unfortunately, like since like the second to last week or the week before that race, I started getting like injured a bit, and so I've been dealing with all these injuries on and off for the past couple of years. So that's kind of been like my biggest struggle, I think, from a running standpoint. After my last ultra, which was the 100K at Eagle Up back in June, I told myself I needed to take like a little bit of a break to kind of rest and reset. And in that process, I've been going through pediatrics residency and kind of juggling that with running and all this stuff, all that stuff. And so now I'm back to doing short distances, I don't think I'm ever gonna give up running unless
But
I
you're
need to
not,
tell a lot of
now
lies
you're a
something.
doctor too. Like you're officially you're
Yeah, I mean, even when I started my running journey, I guess for people who don't know, I guess to be like a doctor, you do like 4 years of undergrad, and then you do 4 years of medical school. There's different types of like doctor degrees you can get, but four years of medical school, and then you do a residency, which is like specializing it, but four years of medical school, and then you do a residency, which is like specialized training in whatever specialty you want to do. So for me at that time, I thought I wanted to be like a primary care general pediatrician.
Okay.
So that residency was 3 years. So that was 2021 and 2024. So I'd started that like a few months before I got into running really. And then after fellowship, a lot of people end up doing like, after residency, a lot of people do a fellowship, which is additional training to subspecialize. So right now I'm wrapping up my last 3 months of sports medicine fellowship. And then after June, I'll be like a full-fledged sports medicine attending or sports medicine physician.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to fill Lindsay in, like, because I really haven't asked you about it, but like just from what I picked up, just on the little things and like you sharing when you passed your test, and I told Lindsay, I was like, pretty sure he's a pediatric doctor and does some sports medicine stuff. So I'm glad I was really spot on with that.
Yeah,
so
you're spot on. Yeah. So technically, I'm like a board certified pediatrician right now, but my goal is to be like a sports medicine exclusive doc. So
that's really cool. I'm in pediatrics, but not a doctor. I'm a nurse.
Yeah.
That's awesome though. I love my peds nurses are some of my favorite people for residency. So I still talk to some of them. So that's kind of like the running journey. That was kind of a long roundabout way to go through it all. But I mean, really sparked with that marathon and just like a random Instagram ad, to be honest. And then kind of went from there. Bit the ultra
bug. You're fast.
Now I'm kind of like, well, I don't think I'm fat. I mean, we can talk about this more too, but I feel like I get so much imposter syndrome too. Like a lot of my close friends I follow on Instagram and stuff, I'm like, you guys are all BQ runners and everyone's fast. And I'm just trying to like get my 5Ks in and collect my medals. I kind of went back into the crazy 5K thing I did back in 2022. So I'm doing like a ton of 5Ks this spring, mainly because I can do it without getting hurt. So I'm just trying to stay healthy right now for like an extended period of time. I actually haven't told anyone this, but I'm thinking of maybe ramping up over the next couple of months and potentially doing like a slow ultra for number five, going back to Eagle Up where I did the 100K last year, but just doing like a slow 50K. Since I live kind of so close to the area now. But just doing a lot of 5Ks. Like I've done a ton of 5Ks this year already, and I think I still have like a long list going through the
end. What's your best prize that you've won from the 5K? Because you've been winning
best
prizes,
prize?
Kevin.
I mean, are we talking like non-medal prizes?
Yeah. I mean,
That's
I'm
a
always
good one.
curious.
That's
a
good one. I haven't really, I mean, a lot of the races I didn't really win any prizes up until this year. I think the ones in this area just give out more prizes, like the organization that hosts a lot of them does. Here, let me show you a few, actually. I don't know. Give me like 10 seconds.
No, we're good. This is exciting to me because I bet these medals are, I mean, you have to admit, some medals are really cool. Like the St. Patrick's Day one we got.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think some medals are really cool. I think the buckle is always going to be my favorite just because it was my first and only buckle I have. So I think that one's always going to have a special place. I think that first marathon medal is always going to be probably like top two, three, just because of what it meant. And it was my first big race. So like this past weekend, there was a donut 5K. They had like donuts at the end of the race and everything was donut themed. And age group award, like top two or three finishers got like these little plush donuts. So this is fun. It was a soft little blue donut. Last week there was like a spring thaw event and like there's a polar bear as a mascot as we're like thawing from winter to spring, and so I got this little cute little
Okay, those are fun though.
They do fun.
That's really cute.
And then one of the St. Patty's themed races, I think it was like a Shamrock 5K. There were a lot of like age group award winners, but they had these like cool bobbleheads that they gave out, which I think is pretty sweet, honestly. So this is it's like a little running dude. And it mentions the Shamrock 5K 10K at the bottom. So stuff like that, I think, is like pretty fun to have. I like the medals a lot. I need to get like a bigger. I bought one of those medal stands with all the rings that you can hang the medals from, and then naturally I overloaded it with all these 5Ks I did. So I need to find a better way to hang all my medals. They're all sitting in a box right now because it's easier to organize. But yeah.
I want to share from the comments. Jeff said he won an apple pie once during a 10K.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
And Zach won a Garmin. So those
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Pretty what nice. What is that? We need to all do that one. Of course, I'm not worried about winning, but still. That's awesome. Yeah, I hope it was a good one.
I mean, all Garmins, I think, are good. I mean, obviously, they have different tiers of features, but.
Yeah, I feel like once you find your Garmin, you're kind of, your expectations are set a little.
Yeah. Oh, he gave it to his wife.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah, nice. Drew won a banana once. It was so good. Drew, are you sure everyone didn't win that banana at the race? Oh my gosh, that's too funny. Okay, yeah, Kelby's saying Phoenix, so that must be a different type of.
No, it's a version of a Garmin.
Yeah, that's what I use. I use the Phoenix.
Okay, well, you guys, I'm like on the lower end of the totem pole. Mine works good though, and it has a full color screen, so I'm fine with it.
Mine is basic. I have a Forerunner, and the model I have is discontinued, but it does the job.
Yeah. I think that's what mine is too, isn't it? Forerunner 265 something or other.
I think my first one was like a Forerunner 245S or whichever one had like music. But I think they discontinued that one, yeah, like a couple years ago or something. And then when I got the Ultras, I was like, I need something that has a longer battery life. So then I upgraded to the Phoenix, which is great. Like even for my super slow 100K I did last summer, like I think by the end of it, my battery life was still like 85%+.
Isn't after that so nice?
Running nonstop for like 17 hours. So I was like, this is great.
I had to change because I had an Apple Watch and then, you know, I started running these longer distances and I was like, okay, it's dying and I'm going to be like, this is like, it doesn't count if I don't get the, you know, if I don't have it on here. So that's when I made the switch once I started doing the longer distance running, I was like, okay, it's time to upgrade. And I do like it, but I do miss some of the features of the Apple Watch because like I used to be able to push the button and talk text and then text. Mm-hmm. I can't text back. So it's like, That part of it, I'm kind of like, I wish I still had sometimes, but it's whatever.
I think it's always funny how much stuff, like how much tech and how much stuff there is in like the running sphere that you have no clue about until you get into it, right? Like when I first started running, I think I was just carrying my phone and then I learned about Strava and I was like, this is really cool. I'm just going to like run 1 or 2 miles and hold my phone the whole time and see if Strava can keep track of my pace. And of course, it did a terrible job. And then I used to do it like,
what was it, map my runs? That's how I used to track mine. I had a Fitbit for a while.
Yeah.
I never used that one, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did that one when I started riding a bike. I used map my runs on my bike with my phone. And then it was like, okay, then I got an Apple Watch. But it's so funny because what did people do before they were able to track themselves, you guys? Like, they just went out and ran for fun. Like back in the day.
My friend, when I started running with him after work every day, it was ancient. This would have been back in like 2013. And this Garmin, I swear it weighed like, it was probably at least a pound. And he let me borrow it for my marathon in 2014 in Chicago. And the part of me that was the most sore after that marathon was my wrist from wearing that watch that I wasn't used to. So thankfully the technology, they've come a long way.
Yeah, no kidding. You were like weighted running.
Seriously, and it was only my left wrist. And it was like,
you're like, dang it, I need another one so I can at least be even here.
I ran my fastest marathon ever that day, and that was the part of me that was the most sore. So,
oh my gosh, that's
such a baby.
So tell us, Kevin, a little bit about what, okay, so you are just, like your range of running distances is crazy because 5Ks all the time and then ultra. What's your favorite?
I think it's probably still the 5K. And I know, I think a lot of people don't love the 5K. I mean, I think the 5K is that like perfect challenge. Like it's, so one is short enough that I feel like I could kind of do it whenever I wanted to, like for a light training run or whatever on the treadmill, et cetera. If I really wanted to race it, right? Like I think it's challenging enough that like, I'm not in good enough shape to like hold a crazy 5K pace or anything. And my heart rate spikes and I'm like dying halfway through. And it's like a good challenge to kind of like, I think of all the races I've done, like even in the ultras, I think the 5K is the most mentally challenging. It's so easy to like give up partway through, like when it gets tough, when it hurts. And I think you really have to like push yourself to keep going and not like slow down or not stop or not walk. Not saying you can't walk, walking is totally okay. But I think if you're really going for like a full out 5K PR, like that's tough. But it's short enough that like you can go fast. It's kind of fun to kind of go fast. The races have more people typically. There's a lot of 5Ks locally. So like one of the reasons I like signing up for all these local races is like in a way it's like a little bit, I always look up what the races are affiliated with before I sign up for them to see if there are like charities and stuff that the money goes to. So in a way it's nice to kind of give back to organizations and charities that about things that I care about. But also like being smaller races, being 5Ks, there tends to be a lot of people at these races or more people, right? And they're just more common, and so good way to kind of connect with the community, meet new people, meet runners, kind
Yeah,
of
I like that.
all
And you
ages, all
know,
paces. Like I feel like I always hang around for an hour plus after the races and just like meet people and chat with people and kind of like hear different stories and cheer runners on and things like that. So I think it's always like a good challenge. Like if I really wanted to train for a 5K properly, I probably would stop running these races every weekend and just like train and get a faster 5K, which is part one of my goals this spring is to get a good 5K time or faster 5K time. But I think like the community aspect of it is like encapsulated so well in community 5Ks. So I think there's a lot to love about it. Like I like all the distances as well. Like I'm calling this like my speed era.
I see.
Working on like my 5K, and I want to PR my mile the spring slumber so badly. And then the ultra running stuff, I mean, there's just something so special and magical about being out on the trails, as you guys might know from spending time in the trails before. But like just being out in nature, exploring kind of the outdoors, having like that peace and serenity out there, like it's just super ethereal, super magical. I love it. I think it'll always have a special place in my heart. And so I think I'll always be biased in some way towards longer distance running, but at least I don't have to like train for an ultra like if I'm doing a 5K and things like that. So yeah.
I like it. So, yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
Thanks. What shoes are you wearing to try to PR in your 5K and mile?
I pretty much run all my races in the elite, like some variation of the elites. So I have like the Hyperion Elite Fours, like the orange ones, like the fire flame colored ones, as I like to call them. I've gotten them like really wet because the weather here in Cleveland is not so great. We have like the lakes here and the lake effect is pretty atrocious. Like our winter was pretty rough this year. And I feel like I have the worst luck in the world. Like I think if you look back at my post, almost every single 5K I've run, it's been like raining or thunderstorming or snowing during the race, and I just have terrible luck. And so these shoes have gotten the brunt of all that bad weather, and so I use them mostly when the weather's bad. I recently bought the Hyperion Elite 4 PBs, like the newer ones that they came out with the PIBA foam, and I feel like I do notice a difference with them. Like they're better than the fours in my opinion, at least running in them. So I'll use those when the weather's good and I'm not going to get them soaking wet and stuff. I'm curious about what the fives are going to be like when they come out in, I think it's August or something like that. So I'm curious to try those out, but nowadays I pretty much run all my races, I think, in the elites. It used to be in the maxes, and then once I got the elites, I just saved those for race day and running those mostly. Marathon, long distance stuff wise, I usually go more towards like my Ghost. So I ran my first ever marathon, like the Pittsburgh one, in the Ghost 14s, and the Ghost 14s were my first pair of running shoes ever. So I think that's part of why I love Brooks, and then why I'm always so biased towards the Ghost for pretty much everything else. So I still kind of run in those for longer distances. And then trails, I'll mix it up. Honestly, I kind of mix it up between different trail shoes and different brands just because of my feet and issues I've had with toes and blisters and stuff. But
And that makes perfect sense for the amount of time you're out there on your
yeah.
feet.
Yeah, my first ever pair of Brooks was the Ghost 12. And so I also am kind of like partial to the Ghost, but on the flip side, I've really become a big fan of Glycerin. I can't, I don't know if it was last year to this year, but the Stealth Fit Glycerin last year is like my top choice when it comes to like my distance, like my long runs. Like that's what I pick. But I've been really picking, like lately, every time I go to pick something, I'm like, nope, gonna go with the 22. Gonna go with the... So of course, I've ordered it in several colors. Like, you know, I got multiple colors, and I
Of
actually,
course.
not that we need to, yeah. But you guys, I haven't showed this one off yet, and it's the like iridescent one.
Ooh,
How?
tell me about that one.
Isn't
So cool,
that
isn't it?
Does it
Okay.
glow in the dark or anything?
No, it's just got like the iridescent, but the
Yeah.
men's version is black.
Yeah, I
And
saw
I was like,
those.
ah, I want that one so bad. And I looked at it because it's got like this iridescent and it's like purplish. And I did, so I was kind of like, why can't we have that one? Because I don't know if the shoe is different or what. I would order the men's version. I just feel like it's a little bit different than the women's. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a big difference. You should go to like a local running store and just try on some men's sizes.
I should just, or I could just order a pair and then worst case, worse, I send it back, you know,
Yeah.
but. How did you, so the Brooks Running Collective is obviously a big deal to the four of us. And for anyone that's popped in here that doesn't really know what that is, every year Brooks holds an application session, I guess you could call it. I don't know what you really would call it, like an open session where they invite people to apply to be a part of the Brooks Running Collective, which is a team of runners who share their journey on social media, you know, all things running. And there's a very huge variety of people who run in different distances, and then people who also train in, like, I know High Rocks is a big deal this year. You guys, I still am trying to figure all that one out because I'm not on the trends with it. You know, I'm still scratching the surface with running, but like I just want to like let everybody know that, you know, that's kind of like part of how that's how I connected with Kevin is from the Brooks Running Collective. And then with Lauren and Lindsay both being on the team this year also, it's kind of like it just made sense for us to say, hey, Kevin, do you want to jump in here and chit chat with us about running? And then also, you know, all things books, because I don't know about you guys, but like I always talk about it in terms of the extra I see from Brooks. You know, they just shared a story of a guy who was paralyzed from the shoulders down. Did you guys see that one? And
Yeah.
like, I can't remember his name. Kevin, do you know what his name is?
I don't remember his name, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh, but it was like the coolest thing. And I mean, that's one of the things that appeals to me about the Brooks Running Collective is just that the way that they're letting us just authentically share who we are and like what we end up doing with, you know, the shoes and the gear and all that stuff. And like, I'm just now still really learning that like gear does kind of matter when you're out running and like, you know, different types of materials and like this and that. And like, I get a lot out of it. So I think that part of it's cool, but like, what was the appeal to you or how did you first find out about it? Because is this your third year or?
Yeah, this is the
Okay.
third final year, sadly.
Yeah.
So I found out about it. So when I first started running, I think I was making Instagram running friends because I think it's relatively easy to just follow people, right, and kind of connect with people online in the running community, which is nice. Well, a couple of our teammates from the past couple of years, so Carolyn Levenway and then Kehlani Neville, I'd followed them on Instagram for a while, and I think I had seen that they were both on the team. I think there was probably one or two other people as well at some point. And I just got a little bit curious. I was like, what is this Brooks Run Happy team? So it used to be called the Run Happy team until last year when it changed to the Brooks Running Collective. So I was like, what is this Run Happy team? I'm gonna like look into this a little bit. I Googled it, found the page for the applications, and they were like, we're closed until the fall. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll kind of wait and hold off and if I set a calendar reminder and come back to it like in 8 months or something, right? Ended up sending a couple DMs asking some questions about what it was, and it just seemed like this really genuine community of just a diverse group of people, like from all sorts of backgrounds, but with this common passion for running and for Brooks. And of course, I mentioned that my first pair of shoes was the Ghost 14s, and so I was already a little bit biased towards Brooks. Had bought some Brooks gear. I'd use like Brooks Sherpa shorts as my shorts on the big day for marathon, for my first marathon, and things like that. So had always been kind of biased, like wearing Brooks gear anyways, and loved the brand and kind of everything that they stood for. So I applied online, like totally as a whim. I was like, there's no way I'm getting accepted. I'm just gonna apply because I'm sure there are like thousands of people out there who are gonna apply to this as well, but might as well give it a shot. And then I remember when I got the acceptance email, I was like in shock. I think I like sat there for like 3 minutes, like refreshing, like reading through it again, like, am I reading this right? Is this like a spam email? Am I getting like, is this like a phishing email or something like that? Last year at Hypefest, I had a good chat with Autumn and Steven, so a couple of our teammates from last year, about kind of our stories of when we found out, and it was really nice to hear their stories as well. But I think kind of the rest is history after that. I think the first year on the team, I was like, more timid. I consider myself like an extroverted introvert. So I tried to put myself out there a little bit, try to connect with everyone, like tried to get to know as many people as possible. And I think when you have such a big team, and up until this year, the team was even bigger than it is this year. So the past couple of years that I've been on it, it's been like 200 plus, 220 plus, something like that. And so you just, it's impossible to really get to know everyone very well. But I think like Hype Fest, the past couple of years has been, they've been like two of the best experiences, for sure, out of the past couple of years of my life. And I think I have a lot to give thanks to Brooks for. I mean, so many like friendships in my life, and there are people that I text and like stay close with all the time still and connect with from a running standpoint. I feel like even the people who graduated out of the program last year and who are alumni, like I still stay in touch with a lot of them. So I think the closeness, I think the community is so important. And you alluded to that too, right? Like there's such a great community. We have like this Slack channel that we use for those watching who are curious about kind of how we all interact, but we have this Slack channel that we use with different channels, and we just kind of post about things that we're posting about or kind of running experiences, things like that. And it's just a nice way to kind of keep in touch with everyone and kind of see what everyone else is doing as well. That's a good way to kind of keep the community connected. But yeah, Hype Fest, I think it makes a difference, like meeting everyone in person. Like, I don't know, Jen, like what you thought, like if you look, if you, like, I think after having gone to Hype Fest, because it was your first one, looking back, like, I think it's hard to imagine, like, kind of like what it would have been like if you didn't go to Hype Fest almost, and like what all these relationships and friendships would be like if you hadn't met these people in person, right? Like, I feel like it solidifies everything so much more.
It's really funny. I think I've told both Lauren and Lindsay, you know, like everybody gets picked for a specific reason. Yeah. And you realize that when you get into this group of people in person, because your personalities, like, there's some people who are so like above the top when it comes to like being extroverted, and who are like, I would consider myself also an extroverted introvert in the sense of like, I'm willing to say whatever and do anything, but I like quiet spaces, and but there are people who are like, party, you know, and then, you know, there's other people who are not like that. And it's just, I remember having a conversation with Ariella when we were walking one day, and I said, I can tell that everyone here was chosen for a reason. And like you can see the story that every person has. And then it was kind of like, wow, the marketing team knows what they're doing in it when it comes to that, because, you know, we sit here and we think, well, what am I contributing? But it's like, we don't realize the impact that we are making by sharing just our stories and like being honest and real about who we are and what's going on, and like, you know, the struggles, the ups and downs, and like just trying to let other people know that while there's a lot of negative, you can always have a positive spin on different things, and even the negative can bring a lesson to your life. And just like, I don't know, I just got a lot of that from especially meeting people in person. But then it allowed me to go, okay, I understand the content that you share a little bit more. You know, like I saw that. So that part of it was kind of cool. And Lauren and Lindsay both, they have huge followings right here on TikTok, whereas there's not that many people in the group that do have that, you know.
Yeah, I think they really pushed that more this year a little bit. I think when they were looking for applicants, and I think for good reason, and I think it's definitely good to like branch out in that sense too. So I'm like super happy that Lindsay and Lauren are on the team, and everyone else who has more of like a TikTok following or presence is on the team too. I think it makes a difference. And yeah.
Thank you.
I still have not figured out
the whole thing.
I was telling Jen before this, I've never been on a social media live, and I was like, I think I messaged you on Slack. I don't even know if you saw it. I was like, I'm on TikTok.
I actually was like okay, hold on, guys.
It's like 8:31. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, do I hit this live button? Like, where do I go?
Oh no, you figured it out. You did just good. And see, like the, like, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of it's a more laid back almost on TikTok. We talk about this a lot.
I'm in my bathroom.
And that's one of her best content spots. She makes a lot of content in the bathroom.
This is my studio, my bathroom.
Wow.
I just made you sound like you make a lot of content in the bathroom.
I don't have an OnlyFans.
You don't have a special room, Linz?
Nope.
I do. You know that, right? Gosh. Oh, shoot. Well, Kevin, you know, I told Lauren that I would love for you guys to have a little dissection on like the fueling of runs, because, you know, having the medical background that you have, like, does that make a difference when it comes to like fueling, or like, what do you use to fuel for runs? And how about the 5K versus, obviously, you're probably not having gels during a 5K, but I mean,
Yeah.
you know,
I
like,
mean, so it's interesting, like, so there's a saying that like doctors are the worst patients, and it's like low key kind of true. Like, I don't think I'm a very good like patient when it comes to doing things that I probably should do. Like
but that's good to hear. That's
even
really good
looking
to
back
hear.
at like the couple years with like the injuries I dealt with and being like stubborn about things with my recovery and like how fast I ran back, right? But then even looking at like nutrition and fueling, like especially when I first got into like marathons and ultra marathons, I think I was like pretty stringent on fueling, like pretty strict, like I'm definitely gonna take a gel every 30 minutes. I'm gonna take like a little bit of caffeine like at this point or that point. I'm gonna like eat this for breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like I've kind of just become more relaxed with it with time. And now that I'm doing shorter distance stuff, it obviously changes. I mean, when I first started training for that first marathon, I didn't do any fueling. I had no clue what the concept of fueling was. I'd never heard about it. I didn't know electrolytes were important, even though I feel like probably should have realized it with some medical background. And so I was like cramping as soon as I got to like the 12 or 13 mile long runs. I was cramping like every single long run, and I was like, this sucks. I don't know what to do. I have to like walk the rest of this long run. Then I ran into Salt Stick, and so I've been using Salt Stick mostly for electrolyte stuff, but I played around with different gels. So for the longest time, I was using like Spring Energy with their awesome sauce before the whole controversy happened, and so used that for a while. And then I switched to SIS. So, is it Science and Sport or Sport and Science, whichever one it is? Because I was trying to find something that didn't upset my stomach a whole lot, and that was the only thing that didn't really upset my stomach. And then over time, my stomach's become kind of so-so with it. I've pretty much tried everything, like you can Honey Stinger waffles, Honey Stinger gels, goo, like everything. And then even at the races, they'll often have different like fueling options on the table. And I know they say don't try something new on race day, but I would sometimes like just grab something from the table and try to see what it was like, or stash it for home and then try it later on on another day, right?
Take the chance.
Yeah,
All
right.
runners, especially if
A
you
little
need
YOLO, live
fuel,
on
you're
the
willing to
edge.
take the risk. Like in a
Yeah.
marathon, if you need fuel, and if you sometimes you just
You just gotta do it. Yeah.
you just commit.
Yeah. And so then more recently I've like discovered Huma, so I've been using Huma more just because like it's more kind of like chia natural based. I feel like it sits with my stomach pretty well. Some of the flavors I really like. So that's what I've been using more recently, but I still have like my cabinet still has a stash of tons of all of those different gels. So I mean, longer distance stuff for sure, gels. Now that I'm doing more short distance stuff, I think it kind of varies. I pretty much always take a gel right before I run a 5K. I don't actually know if it's really gonna help or not, but I kind of just take it. And then I have some like caffeine tablets and electrolytes and stuff, and I make sure I hydrate up the night before and kind of get some electrolytes in the night before. I used to have this ritual where I'm a big Costco person at heart. I don't know if you guys are Costco people too, but I love Costco. Everything about Costco, the food court, like all the different brands, et cetera. But one of my passions is the chocolate chip cookies in the bakery section at Costco, the 24 count chocolate chunk cookies. Love them to death. I can't have them all the time because that's another problem in and of itself. But it used to be that before every big race, I would eat like three chocolate chunk cookies for my breakfast as my race ritual, like every single morning before a race or before every long run. I kind of strayed away from that now. That's still kind of my go-to, I think, if I had to pick, it'd be like
Chocolate
chocolate
chip
chunk
cookies are
cookies.
I
I
mean,
mean,
there's
biggest
no whole
weakness.
carbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys see the prompt
Intolerant.
today in the Slack about like the post-run fueling stuff?
Yeah, I saw
Oh,
it.
yeah.
I just.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think some of the answers were pretty funny. But I had said like pretzels, like the peanut butter, like Costco pretzels, or the dark chocolate crunch pretzels from Snack Factory.
Yeah.
So those are kind of my like post-run go-tos. But I think like mid-run, it's still like traditional like gels and stuff. I think part of the attraction to ultra running was A, the outdoor stuff. Be like the idea that you could kind of do crazy things and go beyond a marathon and kind of push yourself to the limit. And then three, the food. Being a big foodie at heart, like the types of food, I mean, Linz will tell you this, so like the types of foods you can have anything during an ultra race.
And it's still not
And I'm
enough.
not
You can
like
have whatever
competing
you
to be
want.
like a top 10 or anything crazy like that, right? So I'm just like there to have fun and hopefully finish if I can help it. And so like I will indulge in the quesadillas and grilled cheese and tater tots and every single thing that they have. I remember like the 100K last year, I stopped and had like three tacos at one point and
We had donuts this weekend that would melt in your mouth. I'm not kidding.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Literally, you would just pull them apart and it was just like cotton candy just dissolved in your mouth.
And when you're tired and hungry, like everything tastes good. Like everything tastes good. But like that's part of like the appeal for the long distance stuff too.
There's a good question in the comments that is asking, what's the biggest challenge of being an ultra runner? And they have their first ultra next year. So, I mean, Lindsay, you both
can answer that one.
I would say right now, if I was answering from my perspective, the hardest challenge of being an ultra runner is really accepting the fact that running shorter distances, you usually feel like you have a good shot at finishing, even if it takes you the entire time. Ultra running is humbling. It really truly is. You have to be willing to accept that when you start the race, you may not finish it. And you really have to understand that pace kind of goes out the window. You have to let pace go a little bit, but also know there's cutoffs. So you kind of walk this fine line. Biggest challenge to ultra running is probably going to be to have grace with yourself, whether that means knowing how to push yourself a little bit further when you don't want to, or knowing when to sit down and rest when you need to, and fueling, because it does reach a point too where even eating some of your favorite foods is almost impossible to do, and you're literally force feeding yourself to eat a handful of Skittles. Fueling is a huge challenge in ultra running the further you go.
I think a couple of things. I think one is like the mental aspect of it. Like it is so much more mental than I think people realize. I think you'll hear and read and like know that it's like a lot of it's mental, especially like as the race gets longer. Like you're out there so many more hours on your feet. Like the distances are longer. Everything's gonna hurt at some point. It is so easy for like one thing to go wrong. Like you have to be so flexible, right? With your plan, it's not like you can have just like, I mean, I think if you're a more advanced runner or like you're an elite runner, sure, you can have like a strategized plan. But I think for a lot of us, it's just like we're out there to have fun and hopefully try to finish, right? And maybe if you have a time goal, go after a time goal, but it's so mental. I think every single one that I've done, which is only four of them, but the ones I've done so far, like every single one was very mental. At one point, especially in the back half, especially once you cross the 26.2 mark, like everything kind of goes out the window. That last one I did, the 100K, I got this humongous, I've never shared a picture of this, I don't think I'm going to, I got this huge blood blister on the bottom of my foot, like massive blood blister on the bottom of my foot at mile like 31, 32. And I like sat in my car to take a break and look at it. And I was like, oh my God, I have 30 more miles to go. And I have this massive blood blister. Like, what am I going to do? So, I mean, there is a physical aspect of it where like any small thing can go wrong, but then like the mental toll that takes on you, a lot of it is still mental. So I think you have to have a lot of grace for yourself, kind of going back to what Lynn said. And then I think like really know why you're out there, like why you're doing it. Enjoy being in the moment and being out there. Like it's a really cool experience being out there and running an ultra race. Like there aren't a lot of people right in the world who end up doing an ultra at some point in their life or finishing one. And like, it's a cool opportunity to be out there and explore an area that you're probably never going to get to explore again, or that most people don't get the chance to see in person, any point in their life. And so I think there's a lot of like beauty in ultra running, and that can really help frame your mindset. I think the other thing going along with that is that like, it's just going to be something that you've never done before, right? Like with marathons, I feel like people are training up to like 20 milers, 22 milers consistently. Like you've run marathons before, then like if you've run a marathon before, you have an idea kind of how it feels. I feel like with ultras, like the race terrain is so variable one race to another. Like you could have like the flattest race, like the Eagle Up that I ran, or like the Tunnel Hill that everyone talks about in September, or you could have like a super mountainous race with tons of elevation, and like the weather is always like a crazy factor, right? So like the 50K I ran last year, like the whole trail was covered in snow and it was like snowing during the race and stuff. And I was not prepared for that whatsoever. So, I mean, everything goes out the window, I think, with these trail runs and ultra runs. So having the flexibility, I think, and being adaptable to kind of whatever comes your way is super, super important.
Can I add one thing? I've done one ultra, but it's not so much a challenge, but something I think from ultra running that you don't get to experience in marathons and shorter distance races is like the camaraderie and like the friendships that you get to create while you're out there. I mean, there were sections in my ultra where I spent some time talking with some of the other runners, and it's they're just such a special group of people that you're with. And there's like competition goes out the window. Everybody is out there. I mean, people may be competing with themselves, but like everybody is out there to lift you up if you need a helping hand. And, you know, you just don't get to experience it to that level in some of the faster, like, timed races.
I really loved this last, my 100-mile attempt. We were literally running 6 miles, you know, on pavement. And even that, because the field itself was so small, there were only like 4,500 milers out there. And there were 200 milers out there too running that had already been out there for 2 or 3 days before we even got there, who just, even though they were on like mile 104 when I started, were like pumping us up as they ran by, like, you got this, you know, very motivating. And you're like, I'm on mile 7, you're on 104. But we really, like, when they would take the time to walk, you know, because in ultras there's walking, a lot of walking. You start walking side by side with these people, and I found myself meeting a lot of people asking, hey, what's your name? You know, I'm sure I'll see you a lot today on this loop. You know, where are you from? Is this your first 100? Is this your first 200? Like, what, you know, your first ultra? You just really get to meet people on like a deeper level than when you're running a marathon with thousands of other people. It's just a very different experience.
Yeah, like I've made a few like good friends through even like the races that I've done, and like you just get to learn and hear people's stories, which I think mm-hmm. is really nice. It's like something you don't get to experience with any other kind of racing distance. So,
and the time of day, you may end up doing a race that starts late at night, or like if you're doing a 100 miler, you are going to for sure be running in the dark. So,
and like Kevin said, that no two distances are the same. Like and that's true for a lot of races anyways. Like, you can definitely tell there's like downhill marathons versus, you know, hilly marathons. But I feel like in ultras, it really is, you can run a 50K 17 times and no 50K is ever the same, not even close. Yeah. So it's not really about time at that point. It really is just about going that distance, no matter what hurdles are in your way.
I'm just in awe of the three of you doing it, because I know that we've talked about this. I know we've talked about how it's not, you know, like the running is a little different, but I'm just not sure that I am that person. I just don't know yet. We'll have to see what time brings, but.
And if you're not, you're not. That's the other thing. That's the beauty of running.
I mean, it is so no cool pressure. To listen to.
Right. And I'm going to sit right here and say it. You won't catch me doing very many more road marathons ever. I have no desire, but like, that's the beauty of it. We all can find our niche and what we like and what we love and what excites us in running. And that's just it. It doesn't have to be, you know, you have to run X, Y, or Z to be considered a runner. You run what you love and what brings you joy. And that's what matters.
And I think that's the thing that we keep trying to promote the most with all this and sharing other people's stories and, like, you know, having Kevin with us tonight and continuing to put that message out there that, like, you are entitled to run your own race, not someone else.
Exactly. Like, you're not going to catch me racing a half marathon ever again. That's not for me.
I just want to finish, guys, okay?
That's not where I'm at.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, if it's longer than a 5K, I just want to finish and make it out alive.
Like,
the 5K, maybe I'll try to kind of go fast and then like have a little competition for fun, but that's about it. Like, at this point, like, I think I'm at that point where I'm like, like, especially after the last ultra, I was like, oh, do I want to do a 100-miler someday? Like, that would be kind of like the big thing, big bucket list item for me to check off maybe one day. But with all the injuries I've been dealing with the past couple of years, I'm like, I don't know if my like body is like built for this like right now, or if I really want to do this, like go through that pain again. And like, would I be content to just like do 5Ks and just like run for fun for the rest of my life and be able to run for fun or run with friends or run with kids someday? Like, I think that's probably like more my priority, and I'm sure other people feel kind of a similar way too, but everyone's journey is different, right? Like, I think some people are more gifted than others for running. Some people want to chase after that big goal where they've been working for it their whole life. And I think that's like amazing. And I I always kind of like support them and want them to kind of hit that goal. But everyone's like journey is different. Everyone's coming from like a different running background or running experience. Everyone's in a different spot in their life in terms of what they can do or can't do or want to do, right? And things can change in the blink of an eye, right? When it comes to life. And so like circumstances happen.
I love that. Hey, one of the questions that we like to ask, we have like four questions we ask everybody, and you've gotten three of them so far. So what would you say is your best piece of running advice, either gotten or given, or both?
I thought about this a little bit before coming on. I think I have two. I couldn't really pick between the two. So like the shorter, sweeter one is, I think, is like find your joy in running. And these are both things that I'm sure people have said them, but I just came up with them in my mind, I think, one day. And I think I've always been about kind of doing everything in life with joy. Like that's kind of my go-to model, is like find joy in everything you do in life, and then kind of let that be my guiding principle in terms of what I do and what I look for. And I feel like I'm always trying to find at least like a little pocket of joy at some point every single day of my life. So even on like the really bad days, trying to find some positives. And I feel like I do that with running a lot as well. And if you can find that joy in running, you can always have something to fall back on or look back to remind yourself of why you do this, right? Especially when the going gets tough, or you're sidelined with injuries, or you're in the middle of a race and you're like, I can't do this anymore, it hurts so bad. So that's probably the first one. And then the other one is, I always like tell myself that the only thing standing between me and like any goal, dream, aspiration I have is myself. And I think that applies in a lot of different ways. So whether it's like motivation, determination, like a lot of it, like a lot of that comes down to like my own attitude. Like, do I actually have the drive, determination to do this? Or am I going to be the one to kind of stop myself and not follow through with it? Am I going to be stubborn and do everything on my own, which so far I have, or am I going to be willing to like take on a coach at some point and like actually get proper coaching and things like that if I want to chase after a specific goal, for example, right? Am I going to be that person who just like wants to run all the time because running's fun, or am I going to actually do some like strength training maybe to stay healthy and not get sidelined with injuries and things like that? Or because strength training is important for performance as well. On race day, right? So like for all these 5Ks, like a lot of that is like mental for me, at least. It's like, am I like ready to, like when I'm at that, like, I don't know, like 18 minute mark or whatever, and I'm like dying and my heart rate is like 205 and I'm like, I can't breathe and my legs hurt and I can't go any faster. Like, do I walk? At every single race, I ask myself at that point in the race, like, do I want to walk right now and just kind of like take a break and give up? Or do I want to like push through this and suffer and kind of keep going? So a lot of it is just like you are your biggest enemy in so many ways, whether it's the training, the mentality, like during race day with your execution, even comparing yourself to others, right? I feel like, especially with social media, there's this big trap of like comparing yourself to everyone around you and everyone that you follow and that you see. And it's so easy to kind of like see all these people doing amazing things. I feel like a lot of the people that I look up to are like super fast runners, whether it's short distances, like they're running marathons at like a minute faster pace than I can run my 5K right now and things like that. And I'm like, I have no clue how you do it. Like, this is super inspiring. But I find myself like comparing myself to people a lot. But a lot of that also comes down to my attitude, my perspective on running, on my life. And I think at the end of the day, it's about kind of like what my mentality is in terms of like, how much am I going to let that get in the way of what I want to do, right? I think a lot of the like big goals and things that I've been chasing with running, especially when it came to ultra running, for example, was because I was really super motivated and I wanted to do this, and I wasn't going to let myself stop myself from getting to that point, to kind of persevere through it to an extent. But I feel like in a lot of ways, you are your own worst enemy. You can kind of get in your head a whole lot, get in the way of making progress, getting to where you need to be to get from step A to step B to step C. So that's probably what I would say is, I don't even know if that's really like advice for people. It's just kind of like a exactly. And I think it can apply to everyone to some extent.
Yeah, it's definitely good advice. I mean, there's no other way to stop. I mean, literally, I can tell you right now from experience that I am definitely the only person stopping me from doing any of the big things. And it's because I sit there and question, like, am I good enough to do this? Am I in the space? Like, should I actually be doing this? You know, should I be in this spot where it feels like somebody better than me should be? And it's like, no, I'm here for a reason. And I have to start talking to myself that way and saying that, you know, and it's, yeah, that applies to everything, not just running. I think it applies to
everything. Right. Like everything in life. Like that's, it's like imposter syndrome basically. Right. In a nutshell, in a way. And I feel like I feel that a lot with like medicine too. Like I'm always questioning, like, am I doing the right thing? Like, was I meant to do this? Like when you're in training, there's so much imposter syndrome with trying to learn things. And so I feel like it applies to all aspects of life for sure.
Yeah.
But a lot to running, and I feel like there have been a lot of parallels in my life between running and medicine. And I don't know if we ever talked about this when we had our chat at Hype Fest last year, but I'm hoping to write like a memoir at some point in my life and get it published with this like that. With this like parallel between running and medicine. And so would love to compare the two. But I mean, I think that's just one of the ways that there's a big
there's a million ways that running and medicine are.
Yeah. I wanted to go nerdy and make it like 26.2 chapters or something, but I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna do that.
Or if it's over, if it's over, you can just call it your ultra book.
There you go.
There you go.
No limits there.
Yep. Well, we just helped you. We helped you out a little bit. So yeah. Put us in the thank you notes, okay?
I'll put you guys in the little, what do they call that little thing?
Acknowledgements or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Kevin, thank you for doing this with us tonight. We are about 1 minute out from our hour session here. I want to remind everybody that our episode Owen's episode dropped on Spotify and Amazon podcast, but it will drop on YouTube tonight. Help me out, Lauren.
I believe so.
Lauren, is there a lag? Help me out.
it will at some point,
oh.
Yes.
Oh, and we almost forgot. Happy birthday, Lauren.
Happy birthday, Lauren.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Also, producer Rob will make sure that we get this. So the way this works, Kevin, is this episode will drop on YouTube next week when we have our next guest on, but it will drop on Spotify.
Hopefully Friday night.
Yeah, we're that's kind of our schedule. On occasion, we're a little off, but we will be sure to tease it and let you know when it gets up there and all the things. So, yay! Hey,
thank you again. It was wonderful having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, your guys. This is a lot of fun. And like, I haven't even gotten to chat with Lauren and Lindsay yet, so this is a lot of fun to just kind of like chat with you guys too. And
it's fun
to kind of like hang out with some of the teammates as well. And yeah, hopefully we'll all see each other at Hype Fest. My fingers are crossed the dates work out and we can all actually go, but we'll hopefully.
I hope so.
It'd be amazing to meet you in real life.
Yeah.
Well, we should, you know what? I'm anxious to find out where it's going to be. Like, that's one of my things where I'm like, wonder where the location is. We won't know until we find out. Like, so funny because last year you heard so many different spots and I'm like, that wasn't any of the things that, like, Chicago was where it was. And yeah, I don't know if I told you this, Kevin, but my town has one flight. Guess where it's to Chicago. So we're done.
Really? It was meant to be.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we will all chat so soon. Bye. Have a good night.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.